State is on.
All right, we're calling this meeting to order, please. Come with a pledge of allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As per requirement of Public Law 1975, Chapter 231, notice is hereby given that this is a regular meeting of the Borough Highland Zoning Board of Adjustment, and all requirements have been met. Notice has been transmitted to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times. Notice has been posted on the public bulletin board.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Ryan is absent this evening. Mr. Fox?
Here.
Mr. Britton?
Here.
Mr. Kutash?
Here.
Mr. Knox is absent this evening. Mr. Gallagher is not here yet. Mr. Braswell?
Here.
Mr. Cervantes is not present. Mr. Connolly?
Present. Okay, thank you. First, we have application review, Zoning Board Case 2012-1 Perlman. Perlman here?
Yes.
Right, come on up, please.
Okay.
But this is just a review. It's not a, not the hearing.
Okay. So,
okay. Okay, go ahead, Greg.
There's a few things we need to deal with on the application. I think because of there are three or four of them and they're all on the cover page, the easiest thing to do is it makes a note. Just redo the cover page and bring it back. Okay?
Okay.
For instance, number one, it doesn't say whether you're the owner or contract purchaser. It's not filled in.
Okay. I don't know what you're looking at when you say cover page.
Your application.
Application page?
Okay.
Oh, you know what? She's going to have my two sets. So she's going to have my other set.
You sure? I'm going to give her everything. It says the applicant.
Want to use this?
You want to know if I'm the owner?
You're supposed to cross one out.
Okay.
Okay?
This is everything you're reviewing. Okay.
That's number one.
Okay.
Number two.
I need mine back.
Oh, you want it back?
I need mine back, yeah. I just wanted you to see what
number
it was.
Number two, that you're not in the AE zone. You're in a I think it's a big, it's hard to read on that. I think it's an R202. Let me look at this. Let me really see it on here.
Should be on.
Actually, on the floodplain it says E, but that's the flood zone, not the, that's not the property zone. It's on the.
It's on my map. It should be on the map.
Yeah, that little chart was hard to read that we just got in.
Yeah, that's the only thing I have is that little chart.
Let's just say it's hard to read. R-2.02 is your zone.
Okay, because that's the AE is the flood zone, correct?
Correct. Are you the owner?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so that's that. Okay. The next thing. Let me go slow.
I'm sorry, would you just tell me R?
Number one is owner. Number two is the R-2.02. This becomes important in case somebody comes in and look at it so they can look and see. Number five, it says you want a variance for, and it says, it's the wrong answer. It says for the Borough Planning and Zoning Board. That doesn't tell what you want the variance for. And now that we received this, where is it? I just saw it. Oh, I guess it's this email from Mr. Is it Wickles? Is that how he pronounces it?
Yes.
Dated February 27. It cites 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Not height.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at this email.
Okay, I have several emails. So
the zoning chart.
It looks like there's at least five variances. Okay. Some are for pre-existing, some aren't.
Oh, okay.
So you have to say what variances you're seeking. So, going down the list, do you have this in front of you by chance?
Yeah, I do have this, and I gave that to you, and it says on the very top, it'll tell you.
I know. That's my point is the application doesn't
tell you. Oh, so you want it on here.
That's where it has to be.
Okay.
So what you need to do, if you see those things starting at where it says lot area,
mm-hmm.
all you have to do for the variances is just a lot area, comma. You don't have to fill in all the facts. Lot area, lot frontage, lot depth, front setback, side setback. I think that's it.
I believe it's on a letter I wrote. You have a letter.
I don't know if you have a height one or not.
You have a letter I wrote you in there, too. It says all that stuff on it. You want me to write it on here as well?
You're missing my point.
Okay.
The application for variance relief, you have to tell us in the world what variances you're seeking.
Okay.
This doesn't tell anybody anything.
Okay, so you want the variances.
Right, so you have to put that down. Now you can put a catch-all, like all those and any other variances deemed necessary.
So side setback?
Just go right down the list.
Yeah, so it's just side setback.
No, it's
and
not.
Lot coverage, that's it. That's what I failed for. In my zoning, when I went to the zoning
lot frontage, 30. Oh, it says 30 feet where 50 is required.
Yeah, but that, okay, can I say one thing? When I went to the zoning board, I spoke to him about that, and you have pictures of other houses. I'm conforming with the other houses. I'm in line.
I can't pick up the recording if you're having a conversation. Excuse me. I can't record if we're talking.
That's part of your case, what you're talking about. You're going to present. Why you think granted variances. If there are non-conformities with the lot versus what the zone requires,
right. You
want variances. You want them all at once, so you don't have to do this piecemeal. Come back.
Okay, he didn't tell me that yet. Okay, he's failing for two things.
Well, you didn't know this, I don't think, time-wise, when you filed the application, because this is dated after that.
Yeah.
So now that you know, it's might as well clean it up.
So just the side setback?
No.
The front setback?
Well, no. Just go right down the list. Lot area, lot frontage, lot depth, front setback, side setback. Everything that's down here.
Okay, so but where would you like me to depose?
Number five.
These have to go on to. Just tell me where to put it and I'll put it there. They have to go on to. Greg, what for variance two?
This one?
Number
five. This goes to five.
Right.
Five. Okay.
Just, you don't have to put all this wording next to it. Just the categories. Lot area, lot frontage. Just put each one.
Okay.
You don't even have to put lot. You can just put area, frontage, depth. Just so people.
Well, I know what it is. I just.
Well, the world doesn't.
You don't know.
Yeah, right.
I do. Okay.
Yeah, but
I will tell you.
I think you want the board to know.
I will, definitely. But it's on other stuff. I didn't put it in the right spot.
Right.
That's all. I do have
okay.
Other stuff.
So you have to do that.
I'm going to do that right now.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Now, in terms of the application, that's all I had. But I think, especially that last one, was very important because you have to tell what you're asking for. Remember to put, write this down so you don't forget.
Okay.
And other variances as deemed necessary. Just in case we run across one that nobody thought of.
Right.
You know?
Right, right.
Then we can deal with it all at once. Then, when you do the notice, I saw you did a draft. I didn't really read it, but you did a draft of the notice to the property owners. Put those same clauses, each one, okay? So people to get the
citing
notice,
all the different.
Yeah, so people know what you're asking for.
Okay,
that's
so
that's the purpose of the notice.
Site variances. Okay.
Okay.
That I've applied for, obviously.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I've never done this before, as you can tell. Okay.
I wouldn't have guessed.
I'm on the trial here.
Think of it this way. You're down the street, you're going to get this notice, and somebody says, I'm asking for variances. He's like, for what does she want variances for? It's going to tell them this is
right.
What you want things for.
Right, right.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And if they're that interested, they can come down here and look at the file.
Okay.
Okay? But at least this will give them a generalized idea, and that's what the requirement for notice is anyway. So
okay, do I need to specify, like in all these pictures that I took, like what you can tell what they are? Because it's a street.
You'll do that when you come back to the hearing.
Do that during the hearing.
So I got to like do a little show and tell and go, this is the street that looks like. Okay.
Again, for the record, Mr. Gallagher is now here.
My apologies.
Okay.
And so if the application for the variance is corrected on the cover sheet, those three things, then I think we're good to go.
Okay.
That's something you could probably do the next day or so and bring it back.
Okay, no problem.
And then we'll use that one when we mark it as an exhibit.
Okay.
At least you'll have it so if somebody comes in and wants to see it.
Okay. I have my plans here. I just wanted to tell you, I noticed I did these plans and I spoke to the engineer today and I actually can go up a little bit higher. I have 7 feet on these plans, but I can actually go to 8 feet in the garage because I meet the...
To stay under the height requirement, you mean?
In other words, yeah, I'm still under 32.5.
Then you don't need a variance for that. You'll tell us what you're doing.
Oh, okay.
But you won't need a variance.
Yeah, I'm not going over that.
Is it over 30 but under 32.5? Is that the deal?
It's like 32.5.
On the nose.
And it's 32.6 is the max.
Is that the...
The mean.
The peak of the house or the average of the...
He has, let me see here, the proposed three-story structure, eight feet of headroom on each floor, including the garage, still can stay 32.5 mean roof height proposed.
Mean, okay.
Okay. Well,
so,
then he's up there and that's not a variance.
Well, I'm just saying... You know, I just want to make sure it's okay to do all that because
if you're not going to exceed,
yeah,
is this fellow coming back for the hearing?
Yes.
Fine.
Yeah, I'm not going to exceed it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
and he can put that on the record. If you don't violate the ordinance, then you don't need a variance for that.
You know, I don't. Yeah. I'm just saying in the drawings it'll show a different
reflection than what I'm doing here
because I'm going up to the max so I can have headroom in my attic so I can make a laundry room.
All right.
So.
Well, you'll tell us all about that in the hearing.
So this you don't need.
You'll bring it with you when you come back.
Okay.
Okay. You're clear on the on what to do with the notice that you're going to mail?
Yeah, I'm
going to
do it right now.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to fix it right now.
That's the application.
The notices? Yeah.
It's going to be mailed out?
Got to be mailed and certified, and I've got to bring back the little things to show that I sent them out.
You have to do it. There's a time element.
Within 10 days or something?
The mailing and the publication in the newspaper has to be at least 10 days before the next hearing date.
Right, well, I'm going to do it tomorrow, so I don't
know. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
So as long as you meet, as long as you're over 10, you're fine.
Okay.
The notice, if you want, it's not going to happen by tomorrow, I can tell you, but if you want, I was going to say us is me, to review the notice before you send it or publish it so that you don't do it wrong.
Okay, it's fine.
Drop it off here. Carol will fax it or email it to
Carol.
I'll look at it and I'll tell her. It's okay, or it needs to be changed here or there. And that way, you won't have to kill another month because it was done.
Okay, fine. Okay, and I gave you other, like the damage of the house. I don't know if that's anything important.
Yeah,
this all goes into my case.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, the bulk of what you have here is you're going to tell us during the case.
Okay, so, all right, sounds good.
Okay.
All right, then.
So if that's, well, I don't know if any of the other members had any concerns.
You've got, you gave me a copy of this. I'm going to keep this. Is that okay? Because I didn't save myself a copy of that. Okay.
Do you want a motion to schedule a public hearing date?
What's available next month?
Yes.
Oh, I just want to tell you one thing. I do have it on this paper here. All the setbacks and everything. The only thing I didn't include was the front setbacks. I didn't know I had this. I have to cite that. But you do have this in your possession.
Right.
So I'm going to take this and just and put it
transpose
back.
Transpose it. Right.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay. Great.
Just hold on. Yes.
The proposed plan that's signed by Parker Engineering, if that could be provided in, at a full scale, scaled plan of this as your proposed house?
No, that's that wasn't done by Parker. The original survey is done by Parker Engineering.
Parker written on here with those.
No, no. My brother's an architectural designer. He did the plot plan for me based on that survey.
Okay, well, so he. In any event, I'm going to need a scaled plan of what you want to do, so we can verify everything that the attorney just discussed as far as the setbacks and everything.
Well, we should have two large sets: one for the engineer, one for the file.
You want a full, like, what are you talking about, like this size?
Yeah. Not the size. It has to be to scale. In other words, so we can measure.
Okay, I'll just have the engineer do that for
me.
My structural engineer will do that for me. That's all. Okay, no problem.
Right.
Okay, anything else?
It doesn't have to be big. Just
as long as it's to a scale.
Okay.
So, survey to scale. Okay.
Okay.
Anything else?
We're going to pick a date for you.
Okay.
The next meeting is April 5th.
Okay.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Mr. Kutash.
Second
by Mr. Fox.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Fox?
Yes.
Mr. Britton?
Yes.
Mr. Kutash?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Cervantes?
Yes.
Mr. Connolly?
Yes.
Mr. Bradwell?
Yes.
Motion carries. I'll see you.
Thank you.
Come see me.
I'll come tomorrow. You're around, right?
Yep.
Do I stay the whole time?
No, you're good.
Okay, thanks.
You're well, you can stay.
No, not really. No, it's not that exciting, actually. Bye. Thank you.
We have approval of resolution for zoning board case 2011-4 Luco. I don't think anyone's here from that.
Well, their attorney.
Okay.
I'm here by accident.
Okay. Okay. Well, I don't think it's necessary. I was just wondering if there's anyone in here.
Since I'm not charging you for this, I might as well just say.
All right. Don't say. Don't talk.
Okay. Well, why don't you charge it?
Mr. Chairman, just for the record, the members that are eligible to vote on this resolution are Mr. Fox, Kutosh, Gallagher, Braswell, and Cervantes.
Okay. So move.
Offered by Mr. Gallagher.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Kutosh. Mr. Fox?
Yes.
Mr. Kutosh?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Cervantes?
Oh, yes.
Mr. Braswell?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank Mr. Wolf for the challenging task.
Next, we have to approve resolution for the professional engineers contract.
I'm sorry?
Next, we're approving the resolution for the contract engineer contract.
That's what we thought last month. Did you made all the changes that we needed, Greg?
Yeah, well, he basically took out that whole little print. Remember the
appendix? Yeah, the fine print on the back.
That's gone.
Okay.
And the other stuff wasn't the problem. And the change in the name and then there on the last page were done. The signature page.
Okay.
The answer to your question is yes. Okay. That changes,
so. But as I recall, as you were going through it in the last meeting, you kept saying other things. So you went through it thoroughly and made all the changes.
Yeah, I had, except for that last little page. I'll call it a little page. It was a big page, a little print.
Right.
I had three, I'll call them cosmetic things. To me, they were kind of important, but they're cosmetic, and they were all done. So it's fine with me.
So moved.
Offered by Mr. Gallagher.
No second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox.
Roll call.
Mr. Fox?
Yes.
Mr. Britton?
Yes.
Mr. Kutosh?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Conley?
Yes.
Mr. Cervantes?
Yes.
Mr. Braswell?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, now we have the hearing for Zoning Board Case 2011-2, SJD Design, Block 40, Lot 18.19 and 20. This is the one that we know of as the water plant.
Correct.
Do I have to leave the table? And let's get straight to the conflict.
Yeah, if your conflict is, you can
have this right up.
Yeah, you probably you have to leave the table.
Yes.
We didn't want you anyway, so go.
you may stay, or you can
until
we do the minutes.
Watch the starting.
Mr. Fox has a conflict, and I thought there was one other person.
Mr. Cervantes, I believe, was noticed.
Yeah, he is.
Oh. You got a notice that you're within 200 feet?
Yes. Yeah.
And you're conflicted out also. Thanks for coming there.
You got Craig.
All right, now
that leaves enough.
That leaves five. Is like one, two, three. Wait, who's the fifth
one? Behind you.
Oh, you can move up. No, we have five. We have seven eligible members to sit on this case, five of whom are present. So, which we anticipated earlier today, and I believe Carolyn spoke to Mr. Wolf and told him, I assume he spoke to his client, and somehow we got back to us and they want to proceed, which is fine. Whether we vote or not tonight will be another issue, depending on where we finish the case or whether we finish and you want to wait till we have hopefully have a full complement and they listen to the tape and are able to vote next meeting. We don't have to deal with that now. I think that's pretty much it. Other than I made a list of things to mark, but we should get on the record Mr. Wolf's appearance and then go from there.
Good evening, Henry Wolf, on behalf of the applicant SJD Design.
And just so that I'll deal with this in a second, but there was a title issue here which we spoke to Mr. Wolf about, and I have a recommendation to the board how to handle that. Let me deal with it now before we get to the exhibits. This is the property, we've talked about this in past meetings, where there's a sliver in front of it which runs the length of the Shore Drive side?
Shore Drive.
It's questionable ownership, and it was supposed to be conveyed as part of the sale of the water utility from the borough to New Jersey American. Never was. And the water utility subsequently sold the bulk of the lot to Duckworth. Is that right? And I think they may have thought they were selling the whole piece, but they didn't own the whole piece. So there's this little sliver that's still a nuisance outstanding, which we were supposed to give to the water company, and the water company may even think they gave it to Duckworth. Who knows? So, but that has to be clarified. So Mr. Wolf has told me, and confirm this in a second, that he's been dealing with the heirs to Odiati, who were the owners of the fee simple title to that area, and they're in the process of, I guess, finalizing the documentation to do what?
That's essentially it, Mr. Baxter. It's not quite correct. I think what had happened was that the borough somehow believed that that little sliver of a lot 20, was owned by it and proceeded that way for some 40 or 50 years, thinking that the borough owned it. Taxes were never assessed against it. In fact, the title search that I was provided made it quite clear to me that the property was in fact owned by Edward J. Adiati Jr. We were able to reach out and find the heirs of the sole heir of Edward J. Adiati, who is Massey Adiati. He passed away, and I've been dealing with the firm that's representing the estate. They have agreed to convey by a quitclaim deed this lot that they didn't even know that they owned, and the borough thought that it owned for a relatively small consideration.
Who will they quitclaim it to?
They're going to quitclaim it to SJD.
SJD.
And of course, that lot may not be in existence if we get what we want in this proceeding, but that's another issue.
Okay.
The question I think Mr. Baxter, you had, and I think we can get past it, is what about the rights of the water company, if any, because when we conveyed the property, the water company, not we, Highlands by contract said you're also going to get lot 20, believing that Highlands in fact owned it when it didn't. And the water company didn't want lot 20 because they recognized there was a title problem. So you indicated that if we could establish with the title report and a comment by a title officer the probable validity of Highland's ownership to that lot, that would be enough, because I think we all recognize that to get the water company to sign off on the rights would take a good deal of time and greatly slow down this project.
I'm in the same boat. I think you got most of what I was thinking. My thinking was, and what I have no problem recommending to the board, is if a title company officer will say that once you have this deed from the heirs, that deed, together with any other titles you may have gotten from Duckworth or whatever, means you now own the fee, the whole piece, that would be sufficient for my purposes, and I think the board would feel fine with that. But I would want that we want that document before any final resolution.
As a condition.
Not as a post-approval condition, but as a condition of the actual resolution. It would have to be in hand before the resolution is adopted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because they have to prove they own the property or the contract purchaser, and if they can't prove one or the board wouldn't even have jurisdiction to hear the case.
Okay. I don't remember the plans and all, but what's the size of this lot?
10 feet wide by 100 feet long.
You're talking about
the sliver? Yeah.
Oh, 10 feet wide
it's
by
the whole
100
frontage. But it's
but
narrow.
It's frontage on Shore Drive.
Okay, so you can't get a project without it.
No, you can't. You'd have to have a...
But I understand...
To get to the property.
I'm getting a quick claim deed. That's all they would ever give me.
But if he, maybe she, if the title officer says that they believe that you now have title, that's fine with us. We're just for those.
Well, that's different than what you said before. If they believe that you have title,
right?
If that's all that, I can't imagine a title officer would have a problem saying, "Yeah, you have title." But
right. But I don't know if you. And I think they think they can get that, so that's fine. If it all works out the way everyone thinks, fine. If it doesn't, there's a problem. I'm not going to go into the history of the thing. It's too convoluted. We thought we sold it as the borough. We thought we owned it to sell it. We were going to sell it, then they didn't want it. The people who dealt in the water company were fired or disappeared. And for the last 15 years, nobody will talk to me about it. It's my Well, they'll talk to me and say they'll look into it. That's about all they ever do. And then
we're going to resurrect this.
Then I have
we have
somebody else.
Title.
I expect to have a deed from the heirs of the of Edward Odiati, who really owned the property in 1940. Now,
if he's the owner, and they say, and he gave that, and he gives the title to him, then he's the owner. That solves the problem.
If that's indeed the case, and you have a title search that says that.
Right.
So we're going to...
I'm the one who gave the title search.
So we're going to have the hearing, and we're going to maybe conclude the hearing possibly before we have the title. But if something happens to the title, then our hearing is
moot,
is void.
I would want the letter in hand before the resolution is voted on.
Well, the resolution wouldn't be voted on until the next meeting anyway.
Okay. But you expect to have it in
the near future. Yeah, we've tendered payment already.
Yeah.
It's not the payment issue. That's been done. The issue is the title, the title company, and a letter giving an opinion that our ownership is, in fact,
same thing you do if you're buying property. The title company will tell you, if you get this, then you have a good title.
Okay. Right, but then procedurally, if we like this, we'll be here tonight, and we decide to approve it, we can still do anything we would normally do. We could approve it or decline it, or make recommendations and say come back next time. But assuming we approve it, we could not do the final resolution like we just did the final resolution for Gympie's.
We just hold off and vote until we have it. I don't think it's appropriate for the board to take a vote without having that in hand. That's what I'm saying, because you need to know the applicant is either the owner or the contract purchaser of the property. And as of this moment, you don't know that.
Okay. But we can go ahead and have the hearing, and then by the time we...
Sounds like it's going to solve itself anyway.
Well, I don't want to delay them another month.
No, I'm not suggesting that.
So we can vote and have the resolution ready next meeting if we approve.
Well, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't recommend it.
I wouldn't vote. He doesn't want you to vote anyway tonight, because he's only going to have five people.
Next month.
Is that so?
Can we do it on conditional?
You could. I wouldn't recommend that because it's like you heard a case on the condition that somebody's going to get title to something. You should never be handling cases when you don't even know the applicant.
Well, we're willing to submit it to a vote tonight because
I thought we were going to vote tonight and then withhold voting on the resolution.
That's a determination for the board, not me. My preference would be.
Can't vote on the resolution. Whoever votes tonight is the only people who can vote on the resolution.
No, they could come in and listen to the tape.
And vote? If we take a vote tonight...
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Yes, you're correct.
I think he's under the assumption they can.
No, I understand.
No, he knows the process.
We take a vote, affirmative or whatever, vote on the application, and we just don't adopt the resolution until Mr. Baxter has the documentation.
Right. We wouldn't normally do that until the following month.
Which is correct. Which would be fine.
Okay.
And we
could
expect
do it
to
that
have
way.
That resolved
it's
by
not my preference, but you could do it that way. The board wants to do that, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
I just want to make sure it was okay to have the hearing.
Yeah.
But we're pretty confident you're going to have a title.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Now, there are several exhibits we've received so far. Let's mark those. A1 is the variance application. It was amended to show that the applicant is the contract purchaser. It's 3 pages long. That's A1. A2 is the site plan review application. It's 5 pages in length. A3 is the zoning officer denial notice of April 14, 2011. A4 is the preliminary and final site plan by Charles Cermonti. It's dated April 22, 2011. It's 5 pages in length.
Can you hold up
1 sec?
I'm on.
Go ahead.
I'm at A4.
Okay.
A5 is?
I haven't got to A5. A5 is the architectural plans by Keith Mazur, May 5th, 2011. There are 2 pages. And there may be other things. Those are all I have in my files. There's others we can mark as we go along. We should also mark B1, which is the board engineer review letter. dated 9/29/11. It is 11 pages long. Okay. Begin. I don't think you need an opening statement, do you?
No.
We just want to swear in
the
first
witness. Let's begin the testimony.
Assessor, you want to stand? Raise your right hand, please. Swear the testimony you give before this hearing be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes.
You want to state your name, spell your last name, give your address, please.
Robert Susser, 4 Pompano Road, Rumson, New Jersey.
It's S-U-S-S-E-R?
Correct.
And while we're doing this, Mr. Cady, you want to raise your right hand, please? You want to swear you swear the testimony you'll give before this hearing will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And your name?
Robert Cady.
And you're the board engineer?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Susser, are you a builder?
Yes.
How long have you been a builder?
10 years.
What is the name of your company?
Advanced Development.
Have you built condominium projects before?
Built multiple multifamily as well as single family.
Okay. Are you familiar with the project in question?
Yes.
Are you the builder?
Yes.
Okay, what do we have here? That would be the architectural plans, which were marked as A5.
Yes, this is the front elevation as well as the ground floor, first floor, and second floor plans for the project.
Okay, why don't you first tell me...
Why don't you mark that A5A? It's just the blow-up of... We'll make it A6. What the heck? We'll make it A6 as the enlarged exhibit A5. Thanks.
Why don't you tell the board what this project consists of?
Well, the project consists of 5 attached townhouse units. On the site plan, each unit will have its own driveway. We'll be providing re-landscaping of the entire site, along with a 3-story building with the garages below and the first and second floors above. The units will consist of 3 bedrooms, 2 baths on the second floor, and primary living space on the first floor, kitchen, dining area, dinette, and family room. Then the basement, or the lower level, will have a storage area and a garage. The units will be finished in cedar shake siding, very nice looking like shore colonial, timberline roof, copper overhangs, simulated divided light windows, all nice quality construction.
And the garage accommodations?
Garages will accommodate 2 cars.
And the driveways are how long?
Approximately 35 feet, which will also accommodate 35 feet, accommodate actually 4 cars. We're actually enlarging the driveways. They're shown on the plans as 16 feet wide. What we're going to do is we're going to enlarge the driveways to 18 feet so that you can get 4 cars on the driveway. And then in the common area of the driveway, we're going to do this in cobblestone so that as opposed to like Belgian block where there would be a lip, this would be a smooth surface. So that snow plows and cars aren't running over dividers. And then we're going to put site lighting next to each of the driveways, as well as trash pads.
Are you saying each unit will have parking for 6 vehicles?
Yes.
Okay.
How many bedrooms are there?
3 bedrooms. The units are approximately 1,900 square feet without the lower level. Finished floor area, about 1,950 square feet.
Now, are you dedicating a right-of-way to the municipality?
I think the engineer asked for a 7-foot right-of-way in the front of the property for the municipality.
Would that accommodate sidewalks?
And there's, yes, the sidewalks run, I guess Mr. Simont would elaborate on this. Sidewalks run basically sidewalk to driveway apron, sidewalk to driveway apron.
Now there has to be demolition on the site?
There's obviously the old water plant. and a significant amount of demolition, removal, clearing, and cleanup on the site. Substantial improvement to what's there now.
I have no questions.
How much into the hill are you going to be cutting back?
Mr. Mott would address that, but there's an area in the back. It's kind of like bermed up here, and that's got to be cut down. A lot of the older elevation and terrain along the backside all remains the same, and up against this old retaining wall that's up there.
So it'd be like, do you want to consider the first floor is going to be left just to walk out?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And it's going to be a beautiful project. Really, we went over it again today, Mr. Simon and I were at the site, and we're really happy to get that plan here.
What's the rationale for having room for six cars? That's 30 cars.
Well, it's 9 by 18. Right. Just shy of required. 9 by 18, I believe, is required or conforming parking space. Mm-hmm. Two in the garage, two in the front, and then you still have a foot or a little foot, a couple feet short of the next two. But Mr. Sermont will testify on the parking spaces and traffic and stuff, but this is across the street from the fire department. Mm-hmm. And the street is, you're not really allowed to park cars on this side of the street because of the entering and exiting of the fire vehicles. So that we're providing ample parking for our facilities, and then off-street parking is going to have to use other areas on the street.
Excuse me, can you mark that A7? We'll just call that the enlargement of page 4 of 5 on A4, just so we have a reference on the record.
It's an enlargement of what?
It's an enlargement of page 4 of 5 of Exhibit A4.
Thank you. Okay. Anyone else on the board have any questions?
No? We can get to the engineering questions with Mr. Simon, okay. And then to the planning questions with Ms. Kafar.
What do you expect to be selling them for? Rough area.
Excuse me, don't answer that question. That's not an appropriate question.
As much as the market will bear.
I'm sure. I think it's kind of, I would have guessed that.
Very good. We construct a beautiful product with tremendous value. And we'll be very happy with it. I'm sure the town will be.
Okay. Is there any member of the public who would like to ask questions of this witness?
Do I get
to? No. You're forfeit. No, you're not the public.
I'll see him after the meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr.
Simon.
Raise your right hand.
Sure.
You swear to testimony you give before this hearing the truth, all truth, nothing but the truth.
Yes, I do.
Do you want to give your name, sir, and spell your last name?
Charles Sermont, Surmonte.
And your address, sir?
My office address is 301 Main Street, Allenhurst.
Sorry for the A at the end.
I'm sorry?
I thought it was Cervantes.
It's okay. It used to be. Back in the day.
Mr. Sermont, can you give the board the benefit of your qualifications as a professional engineer?
Certainly. I've been licensed as both a professional engineer and a licensed land surveyor. As a surveyor since 1991, as an engineer since 1992. I've been working in land development, surveying, and site planning for about 25 years. And I've been before most of the boards in Monmouth County. I think I've only been before your planning board maybe about 5-6 years ago.
I don't know if I don't believe I've ever appeared before your board, but I've been qualified as an expert in engineering and surveying in all other matters.
He's licensed. He's
okay. Well, for Mr. Shimond, as an engineer with the qualification to testify in this matter. Did you have occasion to prepare a site plan and then a preliminary site plan and site plan in connection with this application?
Yes, I did.
Okay, can you describe the application to me first verbally, and then we can go to the board with the plans itself?
Okay, the application, as Mr. Susser indicated, was for a five-unit townhouse development, units fronting on Shore Drive, each served by driveways also on Shore Drive.
Okay, would you get your site plan and... You want to use this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's speak louder.
Does anybody back there is interested that wants to move up so they can see better? You're welcome to do that.
Have you had an opportunity to review the letter from T&M from the borough engineer?
Yes, I have.
I'd like you to address the questions that were raised in that letter.
Okay.
Can you do that?
Do you want me to go point?
Let's go point by point. Thank you. We're going to go past the zoning. Okay, we're going to start with off-track improvements.
Okay.
Okay, do you know what the existing lighting is and what the existing lighting is?
Well, unfortunately, there really is no lighting on this side of Shore Drive. The only light that exists now is on a utility pole opposite the side of the street on the east side of the property. As Mr. Susser indicated, what we'd like to do is in six locations, I'm indicating on the edges of the driveways, we'd like to install architectural style lighting to illuminate both the public sidewalk and the driveway. And at the same time, we'll probably have a light mounted above each garage door, and then probably a soffit type light up at each entry.
And can you tell us what the brightness of these street side lighting would be?
They wouldn't be any brighter than to adequately illuminate the sidewalk.
Okay, now, is there a sanitary manhole located?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I guess that's a question for you.
Yeah.
Will you meet the ordinance requirements for lighting levels at those locations?
Yes, we will.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item was the pipe underneath the manhole.
There's a series of manholes on the property, but one in particular, this one here, we didn't identify the units, but if we call them 1 through 5 from left to right, in front of the fourth unit, there's an existing manhole. There's a pipe that comes into that manhole from the existing building. We don't believe it's not a main, but a service lateral to that existing building. But a couple of things we did learn since we've developed these plans is there is an existing, at least as far as the as-built records of the borough utilities department indicates, there's a manhole here that I just indicated and a pair of manholes up closer to Miller Street. And according to their as-built records, another manhole here at the northeasterly corner of the property. So we do believe there's a main running in the inside of the curb line. We don't know to what extent it picks up flow, because there's also a main on Miller Street that we believe picks up most of the service, provides service to most of the properties.
But you don't know if it's an active main?
We don't think it is, based on the observation we made in the one manhole. We weren't able to find this manhole, and we weren't able to open up these two manholes. But based on utility as-built, there is a line in existence there. We just don't know to what degree. But what the good thing is about Mr. Cady requiring a 7-foot right-of-way coming off of the portion that we spoke about earlier with the title issue is that utility line, if it is active in any way, it's within that area of the public right-of-way that we'll be granting. But it won't interfere with any of the activities we propose.
So, Mr. Chairman, I was asking a question. So the manhole I was referring to is the one you started to speak about in front of the fourth unit?
Yes.
So that is essentially a lateral from the existing building and will then be removed, correct?
It will be removed.
So you won't have an active sewer under the dwelling?
That's correct. I'm not answering your comments to my landline.
I'll help you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. How about item three, the location of the proposed electric and gas utilities?
We'll provide that. The electrical service we know will come from this pole on Miller Street. It'll come underground to the side of this unit, and then service will be provided from there. Gas service will indicate on a revised.
Right, item four, the existing driveway on Miller Street. Are we going to?
Are you talking about right here, Mr. Cady?
Yeah, right next to the.
Yeah, there is actually between those two piers is an old entrance to the water company, and there's a depressed curb south of the corner, about 10, 12 feet. We're going to replace that depressed curb and just leave enough depressed curb to provide proper accessibility through the intersection.
It's south of the corner? Or north?
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to.
Miller Street is north.
Yeah, so it's south of Shore Drive on the east side of Miller Street.
Okay.
Okay, as to item five, are you prepared to submit amended plans concerning the removal of the wall? There's a wall along Shore Drive, correct?
Yes. Oh, okay. Along Shore Drive is about an 18-inch high, kind of. Relative to the other walls, relatively new wall, like an Allen block wall, that entire wall along Shore Drive is going to be removed because it'll conflict with the driveways if it were to remain. But that wall is to be removed. The wall along Miller Street and the back walls are to remain. There's an existing wall along the east side of the property that's in disrepair. We're proposing to reconstruct that wall.
Those walls have function, or are they holding back?
The wall along Miller Street holds up the sidewalk from the subject property. It varies in height. On average, it's about 3 feet. There's about a 3 foot grade change from the sidewalk on Miller Street down to the property.
So it's acting as a retaining wall?
It acts as a retaining wall to hold up the Miller Street sidewalk. The walls along the back are only about 2 feet high. Actually, in this case, about 4 feet high. This old concrete wall is only about 2 feet high, but this wall here, it's about 4 feet high, and we're proposing to leave it there. We think it's a nice feature for the property. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to remove it. It's in very good shape. These two walls are as you know, they're nice native stone walls, and none of them show any problem whatsoever.
Can I move to the on-site improvements? Do we have a demolition plan in place?
We don't. But we will provide one. But essentially, with the exception of the walls that we spoke about, and maybe some trees up in the upper portion of the property, the site's going to be totally, everything's going to be roofed in the site, and all the wild growth that's throughout the property obviously will be removed, even in these upper areas especially. We're looking to provide a nice backyard here, and then sort of a nice upper terrace, so to speak, long terrace in that corner. So the whole site will be cleaned up, and everything will be removed except for the walls.
Can you elaborate on the parking that is available?
Okay, here's what we were thinking of doing when we realized that we had a slight rhesus issue with the parking. As Mr. Susser indicated, we're gonna run a cobblestone strip through here, not a barrier, just a delineation. These stairways up to each unit are presently proposed at about 6 feet wide. We're gonna narrow them down probably to about 4.5 to 5 feet wide, so that each of these driveways can be 18 feet wide. The depth of each driveway from the garage door to the sidewalk is only about 34 feet, so technically, they're not deep enough for two cars. There may be instances where people have shorter cars, and they may very well get as many as four cars in the driveway, but they wouldn't. They don't dimension out large enough to qualify as four cars. So we anticipate two cars in each driveway, two cars in each garage.
Now, is there, you've already heard the testimony, there's not street parking available on Shore Drive?
There isn't now. It's all striped in yellow due to the fire station. But by the time we put all these curb cuts in for the proposed driveways, there wouldn't be any, there really wouldn't be any opportunity to park along Shore Drive anyway.
And what is the parking situation on Miller Street?
Well, Miller Street, I honestly didn't notice if it was prohibited or not, but the road's only 28 feet wide. It's steep. I don't think I've ever seen a car parked on Miller Street. I don't, but it may very well be prohibited, but I didn't notice because I've never seen a car on
Miller Street. Cars come down that hill quick.
Sure do. Yeah. That's why we want to optimize the amount of parking that we can provide outside.
Okay. Any questions about the parking?
No, with those proposed changes and the testimony that there's a two-car garage, they satisfy our size requirements for parking.
Okay, the next item three was the removal of the existing wall. I believe you've already testified about
it. Yeah, this wall here we're going to reconstruct. It's presently about a 5 to 6 foot high wall. Based on our proposed grading along the east side of the property, I don't think we're going to have to reconstruct it to that height, probably as much as 4 or 4.5 feet. But we haven't detailed the wall yet. We haven't decided whether or not to continue this concrete, this poured concrete type wall, or unless Bobby wants to chime in. We just haven't decided the material that we want to construct that wall. But it is going to be reconstructed.
Okay. And that's the retaining wall?
Yeah, it's a brick. It's not an old wall. It's constructed of brick, and half the brick layers on the east side are falling into the parking lot.
The next item is to traffic, and I think I'm going to leave that for the planner. That's by next, Ms. Capone.
You okay? Do you want to just touch on it?
Well, if you can touch on it, why don't you do it? I thought that would be more appropriate for her. But
well, just based on accepted, actually on Rhesus. Rhesus provides trip per day tallies for different uses. And townhouse units, it is anticipated that there would be six trips per day per unit for a total of 30. Single family dwellings, this property would support three single family lots, probably a variance for the application for three single family lots. Single family homes are estimated to have 10 trips per day, which is also a total of 30. So as far as trips per day, the five townhouses will produce no more than the three single family houses that would be permitted on that lot.
Mr. Susser testified about the refuse area. Maybe you could elaborate on his testimony.
Yeah, just inside the property line, adjacent to East Driveway, we're just looking to maybe put a 3x3 or 4x4 pad so that when on days of pickup, people can bring their containers from the garage to those points and bring them back in.
Is that on the plan?
It's not. We didn't.
All right. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to see something.
I'm sorry?
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to see something.
No,
you're
not seeing anything.
Okay.
No.
All right. Okay.
Okay, the chain link fence at the intersection of Miller Street and Short Drive. The inquiry was made about that by Mr. Cady.
That fence from the pier just south of Short Drive, and then the fence along the entire frontage of Short Drive is proposed to be removed.
And the overgrown vegetation, obviously,
is all going to be cleaned up.
Okay. Items.
Yes, sir.
What about any other fences in poor condition? Not be at least repaired?
The fence along the east side is it, but yeah, any fences that are that either myself or Mr. Cady deems to be in less than fair condition, we would replace.
What?
Well, we may have to provide a fence on the retaining wall based on the ultimate height of it. It's greater than 5 feet is the problem.
Right. It's 5 feet.
I don't think this wall is going to be higher than 5 feet, so we may not need to protect it. But
I just think from a safety standpoint, we're probably going to want to put something up
there. Okay.
Even if it's not, 4 feet 11 inches. Yeah, I think that the way it looks, certainly something, some type of a safety device should be. That looks good. Not chain link. Aluminum, perhaps a little, 4 foot aluminum fence or something like that.
Okay, the question was raised by the concern of water meters and water caps on the west side of the proposed building.
Well, there's a whole series of water caps up in this area of the property.
Existing water meters.
Existing water caps, all of which were part and parcel of whatever they were doing in this back building. But all those water caps and meters would be removed. So they serve no purpose under our plan.
Okay, and am I assuming that the item 8, the utility pole, is going to be removed? Which one?
Rob was referring to this one on the east side of the property, about a third of the way up the property line. That pole does provide absolutely no service anymore. There's another pole up front, closer to the catch basin, that will have to stay because it acts as a guide pole for the pole on the opposite side of the short drive.
Okay, item 9, cars, boats, trailers, pumps, dumpsters.
Yeah, there's a lot there that'll be taken off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are town cars and dumpster.
So arrangements will be made for them, returned to their proper owner.
Yes.
Okay. Item 10, I believe you've already testified concerning the retaining walls and the overgrowth. Testimony regarding structural integrity of the existing retaining walls, I think you've already testified to that. So, are we okay with that, Mr. Cain?
Unless, I'm not sure, was there a wall that you weren't able to adequately inspect?
I was referring to the rear walls that you would refer to, right? I just couldn't see it. I just don't want, if it's in poor condition, repair, replace it. If it's in good condition,
Obviously, we agree to that, yes.
Okay, item number 11, concerning the existing stairway located in the southwest portion of the property.
Were you referring to the stairway back here?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that is actually off our property. The only thing we show is the actual right side wall of that stairway. But that's a really nice stone stairway that leads up the hill. But that's off our property. It's actually partially on the borough property, but then it's fully within adjacent lot 16.
Okay. Next section is grading and drainage. Item number 2, concerning the proposed retaining wall, I believe we already addressed that.
Yeah, anything that requires structural calculations will provide. Anything that requires a fence will obviously propose a fence.
And
we'll provide more detail as to top and bottom of wall elevations.
As to item 3, concerning retaining walls over 5 feet, Mr. Sessor indicated that he would put protective devices on the top of the retaining wall.
Certainly, and even shorter ones.
Okay, the plans do not show the location of roof leaders, discharge points, and the type of pipe length and slope information.
Yes, we'll provide that. What we intend on doing is all the drainage from the rear portion of the dwellings, we will capture by leaders into underground pipe, run it easterly, and then run the pipe out northerly to this existing inlet on Shore Drive. That's where the site naturally drains to anyway. I think probably, depending upon how the leader layout is, I think the front leaders will probably just discharge onto the driveway and run out to Shore Drive. There'll be no overland runoff from the roof leaders in the rear. Everything will be piped to this inlet. And it will provide calculations and pipe sizing and pipe.
Any questions on that item?
But when are you providing all of these things that you're saying you're going to provide?
Either either if you carry us to another meeting to see this or during a compliance submission to Mr. Cady.
Okay.
If the board were willing to make that a condition of approval.
And that is that drainage report? Are you prepared?
No, we haven't done a drainage report, but we'll provide one to Mr. Cady. But just as an overview, the proposed development will actually result in a net deduction, a net reduction in impervious cover of about 2,500 square feet. So my calculations will demonstrate that there'll be a net reduction in overall runoff. And we'll provide all the specifics in the report that Mr. Cady asked for.
Item six, the sidewalk along Shore Drive has a 2% grade.
Actually, Mike, the way we're showing it now, it's slightly greater than 2%, but we'll provide construction details and additional grading along there to demonstrate that it'll be no more than 2%.
And that would be ADA compliant if it's no more than 2%?
Yes.
Okay. So that will be provided as part of the amended plans?
Yes, of course.
Okay, turning to the necessary landscaping and lighting, what? I think you can just go into that with my not having to go question.
Okay, sure. Well, essentially, the limits of clearing, as I indicated before, would be the entire site as far as overgrowth goes. Well,
Mr. Simon, don't you have a plan that shows the landscape?
The proposed landscape? Yeah. Actually, it's shown on here. Actually,
it is. Okay.
Yes, it is. This is the proposed landscape plan. So we marked this right here. Okay. But we were proposing some forsythia along here. Mr. Cady has recommended something more evergreen, such as an emerald arborvitae. We don't object to that. This is just a parking lot on the east side, but it is a residential use, and it would provide a better 12-month-a-year buffer than a forsythia would. We're going to item three, all lawn areas will clearly be labeled. Item four is just some additional information on the plant list. Item five, we're proposing zelkova trees along Shore Drive. Mr. Cady's recommended that we plant along Miller Street as well, and we don't have an objection to that. That's comment number five. Comment six is just indicates when we should plant those zelkova trees. Item seven is a detail that we'll provide, and we do intend on providing an irrigation system, obviously for the entire site.
So, 1 through 7, you will comply with?
Yes. And item 8?
Well, 8 well, is yeah. The answer to that.
Yes.
And also, item 9?
Item 9, we're talking about it today. We think when we clear out at least this upper area of the property, when we clear all the overgrowth out, there's one tree here that we're proposing to save. But we were thinking about planting a couple of trees up here as well, and maybe a few trees just on the lower side of the wall. We haven't specced it on the plan because we really just thought about it. We took Mr. Cady's comment and thought it was a good idea. So I would anticipate us supplementing this plan with probably another, 5 to 6 to 7 trees proposed in this upper portion of the site.
Item 10 concerns site lighting. I believe you've already addressed that
yes.
issue.
Yes.
And I think that's about the sum and substance of your part of the engineer's recommendation.
There were a couple of zoning issues, but if Christine's not comfortable with a couple of things, I'll answer them.
Okay. Well. What zoning issues do you want?
Well, I think I'd be better suited to discuss the building height calculation that Rob points out on page 4 under 3C, just how we arrived at the building height.
Okay, why don't you go to that?
Okay. The way the borough defines building height is the difference in elevation between the grade plane, which is the average grade around the perimeter of the building, and a point between the eave and the ridge of the upper floor. the height of the building relative to the grade at each garage door is about 31 feet. But the back of the property, the average grade is about between 24 and 25 feet. So that's how we arrived at the average building height as being 27.7 feet. And we'll break that down on the zoning schedule when we submit the rock. But that's how we arrived at 27.7 feet.
If you didn't average, what would be the highest? If you go to the lowest grade?
The highest would be relative to the grade at each garage door, mm-hmm. would be 31 feet.
Are they all the same elevation?
Each garage, yes. They each are, garage door is the same.
All right, so,
yeah, okay. They're not stacked.
Okay.
What's going to be the height of the graded garage door versus the
sidewalk?
The street.
A little more than 2 feet on the westernmost unit, and just less than 3 feet on the easternmost unit. Yes, sir. I don't think so, but if they come up with Christina, I'll step in.
I don't see any decks or patios in the rear. I would be surprised that there wouldn't be.
Yeah.
We really are going to make a determination as to whether or not we can do a deck or a patio. It'll be based upon the elevation vis-a-vis the first floor of the unit and the rear of the property, as well as the trajectory of the grade back up to the retaining wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can. Yeah, let me just detail.
So our plan is right now to go, assuming we have an approval, to clear the entire site, grade it, and prepare it for construction, and at that point, make a see what we have to work with in the rear yard.
Well, if you decided to put a patio or a deck, would the addition of that change? Well, it would add to the
permits, the
building coverage.
Right. If it's a patio or a deck,
I think, isn't that right? Anyone?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Then with that addition, does it cause for a variance?
Where are we on coverage?
Well, on building coverage. So I want to make sure I distinguish building coverage from lot coverage. On building coverage, we're asking for a very small variance. We're over by about 60 square feet on building coverage.
Okay.
On lot coverage, we're way under. So that's why I'm not sure a patio does.
That's
go ahead.
I'm not sworn, so I can't. Yeah. If you want to swear me, I'll read it.
Do you want to wait until your testimony? Or?
Fine.
But just the grading as we proposed it now, between the second and third unit is where the grade at the back would be its highest, and that's about 2 feet below finished floor. So those two units could probably step down to a patio if a patio's in the plans. The other units, the first unit, the fourth, and the fifth unit, the grade's more like 3 to 4 feet below finished floor. They may be units that might have a deck at a finished floor grade, but we just haven't gotten to that point yet.
Well, it's important for us to make a decision on that, and I have to imagine that anyone who's looking to buy a unit is going to want.
I'm sure they'll
like
at least
that.
Have a back door with a stoop and a set of steps.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I could provide some light on this.
Okay, please.
The ordinance refers to a terrace or a deck. They are not considered in determination of yard size or lot coverage, provided essentially they don't have a roof. If they're roofed, then they would be considered. So if it was a covered deck or a covered terrace, then it would be considered as part of lot coverage. If it's uncovered, it would not be considered as part of the calculation.
For lot coverage or building?
For lot coverage, it doesn't.
It's not. It wouldn't count for building.
Silent.
So it appears that it might not affect your lot coverage. Okay. Is that what you're, did you?
But the building coverage is over. It's not losing.
Can we swear in, Christine? I think
yeah.
She's got something to say.
Yeah.
I'll do this now. I swear the testimony you give before this hearing will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah.
Your name, spell your last name, please.
It's Christine A. Nazzaro, N-A-Z-Z-A-R-O, Cofone,
no.
C-O-F-O-N-E. It cost me a lot of money to get that name back, and I'm going to use it. So. A lot.
Greg, you just pointed out to me that you have less jewelry than you.
Yes, that is correct. Less jewelry and more vowels. anyway. It, in my opinion, it would not count towards the building
Can
coverage.
Can we move to qualify Mr. Phone as a certified planner?
I think, yes, we've heard testimony in the past and qualifiers.
Okay. Thank you. I don't think that the deck would cover, if it was uncovered, I agree with Mr. Keaty, it wouldn't count in lot coverage, but I don't think it would count in building coverage either. Because your definition of building coverage states the percentage of the plot or lot area covered by the building area. Then when you go to the definition of building area, the last part of that definition says, but exclusive of unroofed porches or steps. So if you had an unroofed porch or step, I think that would not count towards your building area, which would then not count towards your building coverage, based on your ordinance definitions.
Okay.
If I can just add yes. to that slightly. Section 6527B, any open or enclosed porch, I'm talking about porches, shall be considered part of the building in the determination of the size of the yard or lot coverage. So that's a slight addition.
In the case of a deck, is the height of the deck off of above grade determined whether it's building coverage or not?
I would think that would be if there was something under as far as a solid surface that could be considered a covered patio under it. If there isn't, then I would say that would not be considered a roof. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. You want to have comments on that? Okay.
Well, my only thought is that without any proposed, if they decide, as they start to do their construction or going for their permits and they want to add that there may be a calculation that time may pop up as an issue. I mean, that's going to be...
I don't know what the zoning officer is going to do.
Right. I don't either.
I don't think I'm going to have an issue with having a deck or a patio, but I'm a lot more comfortable if it's on the plan while we're making our decision for here.
Is it likely you would do that, or less likely you would do that?
Mr. Gallagher?
No, my question is to you.
No, I don't know if Mr. Gallagher was going to have a comment or not before I spoke, but I think the conservative thing to do would be to provide a proposed deck in the amended plans so that we all had that option. We're not talking about very large decks, but we've drawn the plans. It's just a walkout. I can address it two different ways. I can address it either by putting them on and, we're talking probably like a 12 by 16 deck, 12 by 15 deck, nothing crazy, and be a deck, not a impervious surface, but a deck. Or alternatively, if after we've built and we feel that there's a demand for it, and I review it with the zoning officer, if there's an issue on coverage or anything like that, then I come back to the board for an amendment to the plan. Either way, I don't know, whatever, But if we put them in now, that's fine. If we don't build them, we don't build them.
Well, they're not part of the plan now, so the board would be voting on what you submitted. If it turns out you want to change it, it would be up to the zoning officer to determine whether or not it's a variance item.
Well, what if we carry over till next month, which I don't know if that's what you want to do.
Well, I get the sense that they're not sure yet.
I know they're not sure.
But we don't know if a variance is going to be required or not. I think we should make a decision based on what we have. And then if they find in construction that, okay, we want to put the deck and we don't think we need a variance, and the zoning officer agrees with them, well, then they don't have to come here. Right. If they do, then they do have to come here.
It could go, it could go nice and smooth just like that, or...
Right.
I don't know what he's going to do.
We're more than happy to address it in that
format. That's fine. All right. I was just trying to...
If you knew, I'm sure the truth was, if you knew what you were going to do, it might be easier to deal with.
I kind of have the sense that until the demolition is done, you really don't know precisely everything that's going
to
happen.
And also, I think that's a personal to the purchaser. Mm. Some people may want it and not want to, you know,
So it's possible that these five townhomes won't be uniformed in the back or even in the front?
Well, in the back, you know, I mean, just only as to that issue, okay. Strictly only, everything else will be uniform. But as to that issue, I think that's going to be based upon what we see, we end up with in terms of terrain, and then my feeling is that would be the last thing we ever do, and it would be more of a marketing.
An extra,
exactly.
Okay.
I think we're finished with Mr. Sermont, unless the board has any questions, and I could just continue.
Public. Does the board have any questions of the witness? Nope. So, any members of the public that have questions for the planner?
No, the engineer.
Sorry. Okay. All right. Seeing none, then we can
move to the planner again. Yes. Okay, Ms. Capone. Start at the beginning. Can you tell me what materials you reviewed in connection with the opinion that you're going to give to the board tonight?
Yes, we reviewed all of the application submission documents, the plans and the architectural plans that were prepared in conjunction with this application. And I also reviewed the master plan for the borough as well as the zoning ordinance. And I visited the subject property a few times.
So what variances do you understand are necessary for the applicant to prevail?
Okay, we need a few D variances and a few C variances. We need a D1 use variance because we are not a permitted use in the R-203 zone. And then we also need a D5 density variance, where the ordinance allows us to have 8.7 units to the acre. We're at approximately 11.6 units to the acre. So those would be the two D variances. In addition to that, we are also seeking a few C variances or bulk variances. They are very, very de minimis in my opinion. We're asking for a 19.7 foot setback variance to Miller, where 20 feet is required. And we're asking for 30.3% building coverage, where we have to have 30%. In all other instances, we will comply with the setbacks and the coverage.
Turning to-